For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Praise the Lord. Let's open in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you that you have done a work in our lives and that we are free from sin, free from the curse. And Lord, we praise you for that. Father, I ask that this morning, your time of great blessing and insight, and that your word would be very clear in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this morning we're looking at Arise, Shine, God's Light. We could also say Shine Through Christ. And so we're looking at this morning that there is a great difference of two different ways. There is the way of darkness and stumbling and ignorance and not being able to see. The Bible says that those that believe not are blinded. Their minds are blinded. So there are people all around us in blindness and darkness. Then there's the other way, which is that of light. Light talks about revelation and knowledge and understanding and direction, being able to see things clearly. That should be the way of Christians. That should be the way of those who have been born again. Let's have a look at John 3, 17 to 21. First of all, this morning, John 3, verses 17 to 21. Now here we see, and the book of John, of course, has many parallels. It shows light and darkness and truth and error, all that type of thing, right through the book of John. And here we see light and darkness being shown very clearly. John 3, starting from verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Isn't that what the world needs? Salvation. Why? Because those in the world are in darkness, are dead in trespasses and sins, disconnected from the Lord's life, and we see that they need to be saved. Why didn't the Son need to condemn the world, or God need to condemn the world? Because it was already condemned. And that's what it says in verse 18. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Now notice, uses the word loved. So men love darkness. And this is a great tragedy of the human experience, is that men love darkness. They love darkness. You don't see men loving the truth automatically, do you? You see men loving darkness and sin and those ways because they are born in iniquity and they need the Saviour. They need to have their sins washed away. They need to have light come into them. So it says, "This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world." That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Obviously, sinners are servants of sin, so what are they doing? What are their deeds? What are their actions? It's all around that, isn't it? All around darkness. Verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Well, why would coming to the light reprove your deeds or say your deeds are wrong, your actions are not right? Because when the light comes in, what does it do? It reveals the situation. It reveals what men and women really are without Christ. They're dead in trespasses and sins and need. They need light. They need to be shown just what they are and who they are and their need for the Saviour. They need to be shown just how abominable sin really is in God's eyes, and that they have violated the truth. They have violated God's law. So their deeds have to be reproved. But the natural inclination for people, and you see it all around you, is that they hate the light and they love the darkness. So you see these two opposites. There's these two opposites constantly between one another. The two opposites. So this is very, very clear that we have to understand. Verse 21 says, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." So when you're born again, you should be doing truth. And that's outworking what God wants in your life. The Word of God, doing truth, and you come to the light, you come to be shown the way, you come to have the knowledge of God being brought to you, you come to understand the direction that God has for you and for the church, and you see that your deeds are manifested, that they're wrought in God. In other words, they're not dark things. They're not dark actions or deeds that you've been doing. They're the works of God you've been doing if you walk in righteousness, if you walk in faith. The Bible says we've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works in the book of Ephesians. And we know that this whole life that we have now is to glorify the Lord. And what we do as we come to the light, as we make sure that we're going in the right direction, what we do is that our deeds will be manifested, that they are wrought in God. In other words, they're done in line with what God wants us to do. Very, very important. If you look at Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3, Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3, we once again see these two opposites, light and darkness, contrasted. And it speaks to the time that we're in and about the changes that are to come. You know, when we look at the earth today, right across the globe, we see that there is a great darkness that has come. Even in the church, there has been a flood of evil that's come. And you see, compromise is a very, very deadly thing, and that's what we've been seeing in many of the churches, because compromise touches the darkness and allows darkness in. And when you do that, the light starts to grow dim. Your understanding starts to grow dim. But notice what it says in verses 1 to 3 of Isaiah 60, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Okay, so we should arise and shine, because not only is the Lord Jesus Christ and his word light, the Bible says, Jesus said that he is the light of the world, and the Bible says that in the book of Psalm 119, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and the entrance of thy word giveth light." So we know that the light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. And we must be people now that are arising to do what God wants us to do and to shine forth, so that we can be witnesses, that we can be beacons and lights out into the darkness. So it's no coincidence that when you go to the book of Revelation, you see that the churches are likened unto lampstands there. You see the candles of the churches. The churches are meant to be places of light, not darkness. And that's why there has to be the light of God's word there. There has to be the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, "For behold," now that means look at, have a look at. "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." So even though the darkness covers the earth today, and I believe we're living in the time where there's great darkness and the enemy has come in like a flood, gross darkness upon the people, so it uses the word darkness twice there, it's emphasizing this is thick, this is really thick darkness. This has really caused people to be living their lives so that God is left out. A very atheistic type of approach. And then he uses the word "but." And this is God's answer. "But the Lord shall arise upon thee." And that's talking about the church and you and me. All those who have Christ and the Word of God. And particularly the pure, uncompromised Word. And we see that the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And some people have the idea that, you know, what that means is that you'll be walking down the street and there'll be some sort of glowing light upon you, and they'll see, "Well, look at that light coming down the street." No. This is talking about glory of the Lord coming out through his word and coming against the darkness. You see, when the church stands up as one man, and there's many scriptures and prophecies talking about that type of thing happening, we know that it's got to be in unity. It's got to be according to the word of God. It's got to be as the will of the Lord is saying. So this has to happen. That's why the word "but" is there. You know, people could say, "Oh, isn't everything getting worse and worse?" And the way they say it is as though there's no answer to it. But there is an answer to it. That's why the word "but" is there. "But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." In verse 3, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light." Yes, that's the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's specifically the light that's going to be in the believers. "Shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." So there is going to be a rising and a shining, and we start now. We start now individually and as a church, and there'll be many churches right across the earth which will be addressing this very thing of not compromising, standing, being spirit-led, and going forth, shining into the darkness, the light of God. So don't despair. And don't think, "Well, yes, all around us is darkness. There's nothing we can do about it." No, we start, each of us, living uncompromised lives around the Word of God. Each of us being dedicated and devoted to the Lord, devoted to the fear of the Lord. In fact, to be people that, you know, even though there might be, as we've read before, the contradiction of sinners, the contradiction of sinners are not going to cause us to falter and fall and say, "Well, you know, we'll give up." No. Now, Jesus suffered the contradiction of sinners. The Bible says all that would live godly shall suffer persecution. So that's a good promise, isn't it? There's reward in being persecuted for the Lord. So don't think of that as a negative. You shall suffer persecution if you're living godly anyway. So that's something that's going to come, but it's the way we approach it all. Okay? How are we going to approach our life living for the Lord on the earth today, even though there's great darkness and compromise all around us? Well, if you look at Ephesians 5, verse 8, let's look at that one. We see here what we have been made as born again creatures, new creatures in Christ. So we see in Ephesians 5 verse 8 these words, "But ye were sometimes," pardon me, "darkness." In other words, in times past, you were darkness. You were the manifestation of darkness. Every one of us were sinners. Every one of us were dead in trespasses and sin. And sin is darkness. Sin is abominable to the Lord. You can imagine how horrible it would be to come from heaven to earth, a sin planet. But Jesus did it. It would have been like coming from a wonderful, the most glorious palace ever to a pigsty. You know? This is something we've got to understand, that ye were sometimes darkness, but now, what are you now? Now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Okay, so yes, you were darkness at one stage, but now you are light in the Lord. You're light, and you're children of light. You are beacons. Okay, so it doesn't mean that you'll be, not saying it could never happen, but it doesn't mean that you'll be wandering down the street and you'll be glowing like a light bulb. In the spirit you would be, but walking down the street, in your life, you're light. In your workplace, you're light. You shouldn't be partaking of the works of darkness or doing the works of darkness. You're light. What are you doing? You're doing the works of righteousness. That's how you walk as one of the children of light. So even if people in the natural aren't looking at you, you're still doing the right thing because your nature is light. Your nature is light. You're still doing the right thing. You're still doing what God wants you to do. So, walk as children of light. And if you've been born again, you know that your nature has been changed. You're no longer dead in trespasses and sins. You've been made righteous. You're no longer a sinner or a servant of sin. You are a servant of righteousness. You're a servant of righteousness. That's a difference. That's a change. You're no longer darkness, but you're light. Praise the Lord. So there's two ways to go. And Proverbs 4 brings this out quite well. Proverbs 4 verses 10 to 19. Let's have a look at that. Because this shows us that, you know, whilst we're on the earth, you know, we're surrounded by people that love darkness, hate light, are in condemnation. So that means that they've violated the law of God. They're not doing what God wants. If you just listen to people's conversations, you'll know they're living for themselves. You don't often hear people say, "Well, what would God want me to do here?" Christians should be doing that. And I would imagine, and I'd really love this in the future, I would imagine that if you're living in a time where you're working in a Christian business, for example, I would imagine that you would hear things like, "Well, let's pray about this. Well, let's seek the Lord about this. Well, what would God want us to do here? Or what does the word say? Or what does the scripture say?" You see what I mean? Yes, there would be that, as well as doing the business that had to be done. But of course, you don't hear that when you're working amongst the heathen. You hear all types of things, which I won't go into detail. You probably know what I'm talking about there. So, looking at Proverbs 4, starting from verse 10... it says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the ears of thy life shall be many. That's a good promise, isn't it? The years of thy life shall be many if you're a hearing person and you're receiving what God is saying. Verse 11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. Okay, so think about that. If you've been taught in the way of wisdom, you'll know what to do. You'll know what to do at the right time, at the right place. If you've been taught in the way of wisdom, you're not going to be doing foolish things. You're going to be doing things that are against the Lord. And the way of wisdom is also going to open you up to what God wants you to be doing anyway. Okay, so there's many people that are in, that they're like square pegs in round holes. You know, they don't fit in what they're doing. Why? Because they haven't been seeking the Lord. They haven't been asking God, what is the light here that I need to know? What are the things I need to know? So, I have led thee in right paths. There are right paths for you and me to go. What we have to do is seek the Lord as to what those paths are and get on them. All right. If you've ever read the Pilgrim's Progress, you know that there were times when the main character, Christian, went off the path. I remember the time of Giant Despair in it, and you'll probably read that yourself. He went off the path and went into the castle of Giant Despair. So you know that if you keep on the right path, which continues to go along what God wants you to do, and remember, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, so there's where the light comes into it, then you'll know what is good for you because of what God has revealed to you. Okay? What the light that he's given. Verse 12, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Well, you're not running in darkness, are you? Imagine trying to run in darkness. Of course you're going to stumble, and we read that before. Verse 13, take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. This is a big mistake people do, is they forsake instruction, or they don't listen, and they don't take fast hold of it. Because if you take fast hold of it and don't let go of it, because it says let not her go, keep her, for she is thy life. If you take fast hold and don't let go of it, then you can come to storms and all types of things, but you're clasping hold to the right things. It'll be like an anchor for you. So this is important for us to see that there are paths we need to go, and God will shine the light as we go forward in Him. But we must be people that walk as children of light. We must be people that are instructed in wisdom, that are being led in the right paths. Well, who's leading us today as Christians? The Spirit of God, isn't He? He's leading us today as Christians. As many as are children of God are led by the Spirit of God. We know that. And so we must be people that are led into the right paths. So verse 14 gives a great warning. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. And so we see that there is the path of the wicked. The path of the wicked. And that is a path that leads to darkness, destruction, ignorance. The warning is, keep right away from it. Keep right away from it. And particularly if in the past you've had problems in certain areas and sins have beset you in certain areas, you would want to keep right away from that type of thing. So it's a real decision that people have to make. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Verse 16, see, if men are loving darkness, they're going to be doing certain things. They're going to be setting up things for their own benefit, for the benefit of evil, and so on. And this is what we see here in verse 16. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. You know, we have the situation now in our society where even little children are caused to fall because of various policies and things that people are doing deliberately. And I'm not going to go into detail, but there are many things that people are deliberately doing which cause children to be thinking the wrong way, to be believing the wrong way, to be acting the wrong way. You know, you only have to look at what's being fed through the television and movies and so on, and you can see that there's a clear agenda there to get even young people to be thinking along particular lines. Now, that's very, 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 very dangerous for them because they're causing little ones to stumble. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But, so we see that word but again. Remember in Isaiah 60 we saw but to the darkness. Okay? There is a but to the way of the wicked and or the path of the wicked. And that is the path of the just. Verse 18, what does it say? But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So, what's that saying? Well, if you've been justified by the blood of Christ, and if you've been born again, then that's the position you're in, as a justified, righteous person, then you must go on the path of the just. But not only are you going on the path of the just, but you're going on that path as the shining light. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more, not less and less, more and more unto the perfect day when you meet the Lord. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. So the path of the just is as the shining light. So what are we in the Lord? We are not darkness, but we are light. We are light. What are we? Children of darkness, which the Bible talks about as well, or children of light? We are children of light. We are the answer to the world because we have Christ. And we are able to shine that light out. So we are able to rise and shine and speak out through the darkness. But we must be people that understand the great difference. There's the path of the wicked, the path of the just. Let's continue on. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Notice what verse 19 says. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. It's no coincidence it says they know not. Why? Because darkness is all about not having knowledge, not having understanding, and not having direction. They know not at what they stumble. The way of the wicked is a deadly way. We just read before, and it's probably best to look at it again in verse 15. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. So the path of the wicked, you've got to keep right away from it. It is deadly, It is dangerous. Even a little bit can contaminate. Little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Even a little bit is a problem. And we're seeing that in many of the churches today, where a little bit of compromise has led to a lot of compromise. And who knows where it's going to be before the great Laodicean prophecy comes against and cleans up all of that. Who knows how far it's going to go, but it's pretty far at the moment in some places especially. But the way of the wicked is as darkness. You go that way, you're not going the way of the Lord, you're not going the way of the light of God's word, you're not going the way of wisdom, you're not going the way of truth. It's going to be a real problem. But you know, your ways in the Lord have to please the Lord, and that's the way of faith. If you look at Proverbs 16 verse 7, let's go across to Proverbs 16 verse 7. Notice what it says. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So remember where the enemies are. They're in darkness, but there is a targeting against the righteous, against the just. But if our ways are pleasing God, they're the ways of light, are pleasing God, well, the spiritual law says he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. The enemies don't want to be at peace with you, but God will make it so that they are at peace with you. Whether they be devils, men, circumstances, whatever, God will make it so that they'll be at peace with you. You know, it's been a wonderful testimony with this church how it's been very peaceful. And I believe that that's because God has made our enemies to be at peace with us. They might not want to. They might want us to shut down and not exist. But you know, God has a particular way that he has wanted us to walk. And we'll continue to walk in that way, the path of the just, as a shining light. Praise God. God is calling us to be lights to the world. God is calling us to be people that don't compromise with the darkness. We've seen that compromising with the darkness can be a real problem and can cause things to go, cause people to go right out of the will of God. But that shouldn't be us. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you that you are lighting the way, and you have made us light in the Lord. We praise you for that, Lord. And Father, we choose to go along that path of the just. I pray every person here, a person that walks as a child of light, seriously before you, in Jesus' name.